Hello and welcome to episode 16, season 2 of the Purple Pouch, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by two dedicated Fremantle fans, along with Oz, the 50 other thousand Fremantle Dockers members.
Hello!
Mate, I tell you what, talk about being pumped, getting up and about, and thank you to all the Freo members that signed on to keep this club alive and keep it going. And
kicking!
You know when you... Sometimes they say the darkest hours right before the dawn, mate. And we're in dire straits at the start of the year, mate. But I tell you what, I'm pumped and I'm up and about. Ooh. And, mate, what a week we've had so far this week. We've beaten Melbourne. All the rhetoric on the media's been, oh, how bad are Melbourne? They should have won. You know, it's pretty funny. It was before the game, a lot of, oh, Melbourne need to win this. After the game, what's wrong with Melbourne?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of Dockers love.
Yeah,
a little bit, but little bit, mate, I'm just so pumped. And for those that don't listen to The Rain, we literally just finished recording it maybe 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
but have a listen to that for our review of the Melbourne Dockers game at Purple Rain 95. Oz, mate, we're playing at 12:10 at Metricon Stadium. I think we've only won one game at Metricon so far this year against Adelaide.
Yes,
the 3-12 North Melbourne Kangaroos. Versus 6-9 Freo Dockers, mate. North Melbourne lost 6 in a row. Look, they're just injury ravaged. 15 injuries, 11 of them out for the season. The Dockers with 9 injuries, only 6 for the season. But, I mean, there's only 2 weeks left in the season. So, yeah, it's a 2-week injury. Mate, 7-day break versus a 5-day break for obviously in the favour of North Melbourne. Now, I found this a very key stat, mate. Since the 29th, we've played 4 games in 14 days. Ooh. This will be our 4th game in 14 days.
Ooh.
The Kangaroos, it'll be their 3rd game in 13 days. So, little bit, 1 extra game. Could that catch up with us? How the body's feeling? What do we do? And Oz, it's time to go to the match committee to figure out what we're going to do, mate. Now, Oz, injury news has just been in. Doodle Dooman is a test with his ankle,
yes.
So could play. Who would be your likely replacement for Doodle if he doesn't get up?
Probably Toby Watson for me. Saw a little bit of him before. Very excited about what he could produce. And you know my saying, Duck, every good team has a blood nut.
That's it, mate. I've got Watson for Dooman as well, mate, if he doesn't get up. I'm really excited. And I think Watson is one of those guys who could just become a very steady AFL player. You know, and like he won't sell the world on fire, but he does his job. He does the right thing, you know. And like you said, blood nut, you always need one of those, mate. And the young Tobe, hopefully, you know, he does get his 3rd game for the season. I can't really see any other big defenders. North Melbourne have got a weird size forward line. So
yeah.
I think Tobe will slot back in as one of the, you know, the Imodium 6, mate. He'll get back in there, you know, with the Dewey Decibel duo.
You remember that one,
and the Bash Bros. But, mate, the only other guy, and we talked about this just on The Rain, is that obviously with Goldstein in the ruck, we're going to have to keep Lob in the team with Darcy. But, look, I'm really concerned about Lob's position in the side, and same with maybe Stephen Hill. Now, we sound like broken records. They're two experienced players, but, you know, they're two guys whose form's been down. On the flip side, we've won games. So, you know, do you want to make that many changes or do you just grit and get through it? You know, I think it builds a lot of character and it builds a lot of resilience. And I think, you know, it's interesting because my mates and my chat group and everyone's, you know, a lot of people around, oh, at least we haven't fallen off this season. We have in the previous 5 seasons, we've fallen off. But you've got to remember our fall off was from round 17 onwards a lot of the time. You know, like we've actually only played... Like, you don't consider that first round because that was so far before the next lot. But, you know, we've only played, we've played 14 games now, I think, in that space time. So it's we're not into that 15th, 16th, 17th, you know, 18th, 19th, 20th game.
Now, Duck, it's one of those things. At the end of the season, it is very possible we are 1 or 2 wins out of the 8.
Oh, yeah, man. Tell me about it.
And the way that we are playing, my firm belief is that we are shaping to be an anywhere, anytime type team. And I believe our best match is anyone. And we saw what happened with Richmond. And we absolutely smashed them at contested ball.
Yeah.
We just needed to tidy up a little bit of our inside 50 count. This time, as you mentioned before on The Rain, that we smashed Melbourne on the outside.
Yeah.
So we've got the ability to win either way. And I think we're finishing very strong. I love this. It's setting up a great season. But very interesting to see what could have been.
Yeah, and I go back to the very first game against Essendon and Brayshaw running into an open goal twice in the last 2 minutes and missing both of them. And I go back to the Carlton game where they trailed the whole game and they get a dodgy free kick.
And they'll learn from that.
And, you know, like, yeah.
They'll learn from that.
And, you know, it's quite interesting. So, mate, I've started listening to Triple N Rush Hour. I just got a random thing on someone, I think it was Jack Carrington-Jones. Shout out to you. Third shout out in a matter of minutes. But he sent me something with Ross Lyon talking. And you know how much we love Ross. Yeah. We love Ross. So Ross Lyon talking about Hogan, da-da-da-da-da, and the trade. So it's automatically subscribed me, and I'm just listening to either Ross Lyon now, delete heaps of stuff, or they kind of, it's Victorian bias, so they do review the Dockers games, but they don't give it much justice. Yeah, correct. So yep. Mainly I'm listening to Ross Lyon, mate, and I'm skipping a lot of stuff. But Ross was talking about Melbourne where if they've got the mentality, it seems like they've got this mentality where they already book in the wins and the losses. Oh, we should beat this side. And they'd never show up, oh, we won't win this game, and they play better. And he was like, if you are already in that mentality, you're already lost, you know, and you've got to have this mentality of every game matters, every game is worth 4 points. And I think that's something the Dockers have got to start, which they would have had under Ross, and they've still got to drill, is that every game matters, you know, every game's going to be, could have the worst possible outcome.
Well, I'm starting to see that through J-Lo, mate. I love the way he's coaching this team. It's something that we talked about on the rain. I really love the way he's coaching up these young players. He's instilled this sense of self-belief. Mm. The leadership group is driving the standards of the team. You know, J-Lo obviously has his standards, but it's being enforced by leaders. The team's coming along for the ride, and we're starting to see that exponential growth through these younger boys, especially through the middle. Now, you know, the old saying, you can't buy confidence down the local shop, Duck, but what you can do is pick up through the season valuable experience on players that you match up against across the course of a season. And now all of a sudden it's like, you know what? Yeah, I can match it, but I can more than match it. I can beat these guys.
Exactly.
And it's been
a mix of experience with Mundy continuing to like show just how well he is and just how he looks like he has to go on next year.
Yeah.
Fife and Walters sacrificing their game a bit. And then the growth of the middle tier guys like Ryan and Cox, Aish coming into the team, Akers coming into the team, showing a lot of good stuff. Wilson, after his toe injury, continuing to grow. You know, Hughes continues to be a solid contributor. And then you've got these young guys that are taking the step up. Brayshaw, Chera, Darcy, who should all get in the 22 under 22 side. Mm. You know, then you've got this injection of Caleb Sarong.
Oh boy.
Who just, and Frederick, and you've seen the growth of Spleeno and Schultze, you know, to an extent, but you know, you see growth in everyone and everyone starts to look better. And it's just, mate, it's got me so up and about.
Oh, yeah.
Not just this year. And I really want us to finish strong. I don't care about our slide in the draft. Doesn't matter. What matters is that we continue to win games and we continue to play well.
That's
and
the culture.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the AFL is this system where it rewards, you know, poor football teams and lets them rebuild quicker. But, mate, I think we're on the tipping point of something really great coming up, you know, and we're going to have the back end of Fife and Walters' career and Mundy's career and Hill's career, but we're also going to have this big push of youth and really dominant players. And we saw it from Chera on the weekend, and no doubt you're going to talk about him and maybe in your matchups.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
But shall we get into the matchups now, mate?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, Oz, just before we do that, sorry, I've got a question for you because I just thought of it.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, J-Lo standing up or J-Lo sitting in the corner?
Oh, that's a good question.
I just thought about it because J-Lo by himself in the corners,
yes,
how funny.
Yes.
But also J-Lo standing up. J-Lo standing up is like an inner fan to me.
Yeah, look, I think so. And some people may, you know, say, hang on a second, you're not supposed to be such, you know, such a fan or whatever. Mm. But I love it. He rides every bump.
Oh, yeah.
He gets into it. That death stare he gave the camera, oh, it's something else. And that, you know, umpires take note because that was an egregious call.
Mate, it was just a weird one. But, hey, guys, remember as well, you can actually win an opportunity to be in the coach's box with J-Lo,
imagine that.
Mate. So make sure you get on that forever hero
question,
stuff, mate.
Question for you.
Mm.
You're in the box.
Yeah.
J-Lo's up and about.
Yep.
Then gives someone a bake.
Yep.
Not that he does, but...
Yeah.
Is there an expectation that you nod, or do you just sit there and you, are you quiet? Are you eating a Chico roll? What are you doing as well?
I think in the box, mate, you're just sitting there still and just taking everything in.
Would you be afraid to breathe in the box?
I wouldn't want to do anything.
You wouldn't want to drop a Grogan. Let's start with that. Well,
you're dropping your guts. You're in a bit of trouble. Mate, I would be like in the box, man. It'd just be... See, Oz, I know I'm a very good talker and I seem like I can be very boisterous, but I can very much play the backseat role. I never need to be the alpha dog, mate. I don't need to be an alpha dog. I can be an alpha dog, but I don't need to be an alpha dog. And I'm very much easy to just to sit back in the pack and just, mate, I reckon I could sit in there one day and bring a computer and then I'd just be in there forever. They're like, oh yeah, this is one of the computer guys and I'm not doing anything. I'm just playing Adrian. Well, I wouldn't be Adrian, playing.
No, football manager.
I'm watching the game on KO on my computer. Like, what's this guy doing? It's like,
I love that. We could wear our glasses, sit at the back,
yeah, mate.
Pretend we know what we're doing.
Well, actually, glasses give me a headache when I have them in front of computers. Mine's for long-sighted. I'm blurring the distance, mate.
Okay. I need mine to actually, yeah, anyway.
All right, mate, let's get into the matchups.
Go!
My first matchup is our back line. Cameron Zerha, the man they called the Bull, East Fremantle product, mate, rookie listed, 5'11 this season. Tricky matchup because he's not only is he got a bit of height about him and he's a bull at the contest, but he's also very quick. So he's that weird matchup, mate. And a guy, so I look back at him and I was like, oh, man, why don't we pick up Zerha? Because he's a rookie-listed player from WA. You know, it's something we've got to make the most of. But actually, in that draft and in that rookie-listed draft, we picked up Doodle Doman. He was our rookie-list player that we picked up instead. Yep. Ryan was our late pick. And it was the picks with Ryan and Darcy and Cox and all that. So, yep. I mean, we did really well in that draft. So, look, Ryan, the man who's harder than the cat's head. So, I've got this, the Bull versus the cat's head, mate. Imagine that.
Going at it.
Mate, drafted in the same year, obviously, like I said, as Cam Zerha, as a mature age pick, mate. Hard as a cat's head. Marshall's a defense. And look, the thing I love most about Ryan is that you can see when he knows when to attack the contest and he knows to peel back and play like a sweeper, you know, and he does that so well and he reads the ball so well, mate, and he defends and drops off and he really marshals that back six. And, you know, when you think about that back six, the Imodium six, as we like to call it, we've got the Dewey Decibel duo in Hughes and Conker that just go about their job every week. We've got the Bash Brothers in Cox and Ryan. And then we've got the other three where we've got Doodle Dooman, who had a really breakout game last game but may not play this week. We've got Hill and Wilson who can provide that run and bounce off the back line. And then, you know, in the future years, we've got Young coming through with maybe a Watson or something like that, or a Pena. You know, we've got all these guys coming through who could replace these other guys. So, look, I think Luke Ryan, however, is the cornerstone. And then you forget also, mate, every time. We forget, we're talking about this Ammonium 6, how well they're playing. We forget on the sidelines, we've got Griffin Logue, who had an outstanding start to the season, Alex Pierce, who was in All-Australian form before he broke his leg last year, and Joel Hamling, who's a fantastic fullback.
Yeah.
So, mate, our defensive stocks are through the roof at the moment. If they can all get back out there and on the field, mate, we may win games 10-0. You know, 10 points to nil. All right, Oz, your matchup in the midfield?
This one goes down to the wire for me, Duck. And I'm glad you said that we are playing North Melbourne and not the Western Bulldogs, because that, as of 5 minutes ago, was where my matchups lied. But shout out to BK, because back in 2017, I remember sitting at work watching the National Draft live, and North Melbourne picked up at pick four Luke Davies Uniac. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And then we picked up Adam Chera at pick five. And I thought, because I was thinking, you know, I saw a lot of footage from under 18s of Luke, and I thought, gee, this guy looks really good. Similarly with Chairs, I saw, you know, highlights, etc. And I thought, both of these guys look pretty good. It'd be interesting to see the direction in which each go. Now, it's taken Luke a lot longer to actually develop. He's only played 7 games this season. And there was a lot of concern about his progress, lot of concern. And that was around AFL circles. Whereas Chez early on, you know, cemented a spot and he was able to, you know, try and find his feet, and he's played off halfback, he's played a little bit half forward, and now is obviously going through the middle. And Really interesting to see where both players are at now. Now, pick four, pick five. What are the odds that they're literally their statistics as they stand this season are almost identical?
Oh.
Now, I'll give you examples here, Duck. Disposal, 17.3, Davies Uniac, 17.5, Chera. If we go down to goal assists, 0.2% difference. If we look at contested possession, 7.9 Davies Uniac, 7.1 Chez. Uncontested possessions, 9.9 Davies Uniac, 10.9 Chez. Effective disposals, get this, 12.4 for Davies Uniac, 12.5 for Chez. Disposal efficiency, Duck, 71.7 for Davies Uniac, 71.4 for Chez. I could go on, but I won't. The bottom line is that they are mirroring each other almost. And it's indicative of the caliber of both players. Davies Uniac has actually been able to drive more so in his most recent games, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, drive the ball forward more often. His average meters gains now 260.3 versus 215.3. And he's actually getting more involved in scoring opportunities and chains, which is what they thought he would do in the first place, because he had a nice penetrating kick, had a bit of toe, and was able to drive his team forward in the under-18s. So that's where they thought he was going to go. But it's taken a little while for that to happen.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward to, you know, 2020, and we have a look at Adam Chera. Mate, his last game is something, and it's on the rain, so, you know, we bang on about how good he was. He puts on one of the all-time quarters, and that goal that he scores is, and you called it perfectly, it's one of the all-time Frio Docker goals.
Yeah, it is.
And it's at a crucial moment. It's nonchalant. It shouldn't be kicked. It's so difficult.
Yeah.
And
it's a breakout of not just the Dockers, it's the young Dockers encapsulated and it's Chera encapsulated.
Yes.
And guy who maybe is much maligned, especially by, you know, me in particular, but this could be the thing and this is what set him off, you know. And I think the LDU has had a really good last couple of weeks, but it's so surprising how little games he's played compared to Chera.
Yeah.
You know, and when you think about that 5-6, I mean 4-5, and if you think about now, Oz, and I've been thinking about this. So that draft, we've talked about a number of times, but Rayner, Brayshaw, Dow, LDU, Chera, Stevenson, Clark, Cofield, Norton, O'Brien as the top 10. Now, I think if you're redoing that at the moment, I think, well, Dow obviously drops because he can't get a game. I think Chera goes before LDU. I think obviously Norton pushes up and Cofield and Clark also push up a fraction. And Stevenson, well, don't know with Stevenson. Yeah. Started off like a German marching band, finished like a German army. So, you know, it's a bit interesting. But I think Rayner drops as well. I think you're picking Brayshaw and Chera before Rayner at the moment.
Yes.
You know, so it'd be interesting. I think if you redo that draft, you're kind of looking at maybe Norton number one, because I think as a key four, they're so hard to find. And then maybe Brayshaw and Chera, then your Clark and your Cofield.
It's very, and it's very interesting because obviously Norton's struggling in front of goal at the moment. But I think the hindsight, you know, picking Chera and Brayshaw, if you can keep those two together, I think they saw potential in what they could produce. We're now actually seeing, I mean, that the top end of Chera is elite.
Yeah.
His skills by foot is elite. What he's able to do, he's able to think through it. We've compared him before to Pendlebury and in his decision making and also his ability to, you know, to hit targets. We're now seeing that more consistently.
Yeah.
Now, I can just imagine if he continues this, gets that consistency of the top end, mate, I tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for me, this one's going to be a cracker to watch, and I really hope Chera just grabs this game and just backs up a sensational result. I was going to say something else there, but I'm better for not saying it. But I just hope he grabs this particular game.
And backs it in with another great game and another 10 coaches votes. Look, mate, my forward line matchup, I'll do it nice and quickly. Look, Sonny versus Luke McDonald. My notes on Sonny, 3-1 on Monday, obviously. Frustrated with the forward line and has spent a majority forward since coming off his injury. Look, but could be a piece of the puzzle that's very crucial. You know, our forward movement isn't great. Our opportunities inside forward are limited. We need Sonny to be able to hit packs and kick goals and lead up and kick goals. You know, and he becomes such a valuable forward who can roll into the midfield if times get tough. mate, Luke McDonald, obviously the major run with player at North Melbourne. Could he go to Fife, or maybe he plays in his back pocket like he has been on the most dangerous forward, who will be Sonny. Big lockdown role. He's got that booming left foot as well, so he can drive a little bit of outside run. But the main note I've got on Luke McDonald is he's got a really good beard. He's got a very bushy beard.
Shout out to the beards.
Yeah. And that's it, mate. All right, Oz, let's go to break. When we come back, we've got Dual Citizens, Best Time They Met, and what's the other thing called? We're going to predict the game, see how it goes. Oh, welcome back. Episode 16, Season 2 of the Purple Patch. What a banger, Oz. What do you call that one, mate?
Dewey Decimal Brothers.
Nice, I like it, mate.
Mm.
Shout out to the Dewey Decimal Duo in Conker and Hughes that just go about their, the two librarians that just go about their business, mate. You don't notice as much.
Just get it done.
Yeah. Didn't Conker elbow someone in the back
of the head in the game? Oh, I did see it.
At Richmond?
I did see it.
All right, mate, onto our Dual Citizens. And there can only be one because... At the Fremantle Dockers, mate, yes. And at the Purple Patch, we like a certain type of player, a Yo-Yo Ma type of player, a player that goes back and forth. And this week, there can only be one. Our general manager, our saviour even.
Yes.
In Peter Bell.
Yes.
Now, Peter Bell, mate, very interesting. Obviously, interesting upbringing, the fact that Korean mother, US father, gets adopted by some Christian missionaries. In South Korea, they bring him back to Kojunup. The Bells, I've met him before, lovely, lovely people. And he grows up in Kojunup, which is neighbours to Tamblup. And, mate, would you believe, and I don't like to give too many shout-outs, but the old boy, old Frankie, mate, he was a part of the 1980 Central Great Southern Football League, where Tamblup, in the grand final on the 21st of September, mate, and this is the 30-year reunion of it this year. 40 years, mate. Tamblup 15-3, 93, defeated Kojunup 12-13, 85. Oh. Yeah. Ooh, poor old Koji, mate. Stick that up your CO dot. KO dot even, not even CO, yeah, KO. Come on, Dustin.
KO.
Look, obviously, went to Aquinas, mate. Go in 1994... And I couldn't believe this. He was the fairest and best for South Fremantle League as an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Now, that is unbelievable.
Yes.
Gets to the Dockers.
That's why he was an early pick.
One of the first two players picked for the Dockers. Plays two games, two goals, including the first game. Jared Neesham, he's too slow. Delists him. Gets rid of him. Okay? Even though I thought his first game he actually played pretty
good. We talked about that.
Mate, from 96 to 2000... He goes and plays for North Melbourne. He plays 123 games, kicks 120 goals. He's a Rising Star nominee in 96. He wins the flag in 96. In 99, he's close to best on ground. He has 31 disposal, kick 4, goal 1. He's All-Australian in 99. In the 98 grand final, mate, if you look at that as well against Adelaide, which they lost, look, he kicked 1, goal 3. And that game, I mean, I think they kicked 6 goals, 15 to halftime. He had 26 disposals, so he led the disposal count. He won the Sid Barker Medal, which is North Melbourne's fairest and best in 2000. And he won in 1998 the Graham Moss Medal for the last ever State of Origin game that WA played in. And I think Jeff Armour might have been robbed, mate, if I remember watching that down in Esperance. He comes to Freo in 2001. He's at Freo 2001 to 2008. 161 games for 128 goals. I believe we traded him for pick 10 off the top of the dome for a guy by the name of Dylan Smith, who eventually came to the Dockers anyway. He could have been a dual citizen, but we might leave him for another time. Three-time Doig medalist, 01, 03, and 04. Is captain from 02 to 06. In 03, he actually offers the captaincy to Pavlich. Pavlich turns it down. an All-Australian in 2003, and I believe maybe our first All-Australian as well in 03. Life member in 07, AFL Hall of Fame, president of the Players Association from 03 to 07. Look, he's a broadcaster. He's trained to be a lawyer. He went in his last season of footy, played from Geraldton.
Yes.
Came down and played. That's how good the guy was. Played from Geraldton. He's head of footy at the moment as our general manager, mate. His two famous things that I remember from Peter Bell is one, he'd do the double fist pump and going outwards.
Yeah, he loved
the double. But it was like a weird double fist pump going outwards. Yeah. That was his celebration. And also the bells ringing at Dockers games.
Every time.
Every time. And I believe the rumour is that there wasn't just one person. There's four or five people situated around the grounds that would ring the bells every time they heard Belly touch the ball. And does that make him a little bit of a cult figure? Or is he too good to be a cult hero?
Can you not be a cult hero and be very good?
Mm.
Is Matthew Pavlich a cult hero?
No, too good.
He's too good.
He's just a club legend. I think that's what Belly becomes, a club legend.
Yeah.
You know, so look, if you talk about the revival of the club and, you know, getting out of those dark days post-drum, he led the way and he was the guy who came back and he was kind of like the best player we'd traded until then, traded into the club.
Mm.
You know, he's an All-Australian. He's a Ferris and Best winner. He's a premiership player. And he leads the way for the likes of, obviously, Farmer, then McFarlane, and all those guys who get traded back to WA. And then, you know, helped settle the club and actually establish the club, which was not necessarily a basket case, but was starting from the back marker.
Yeah.
You know? Anything you'd like to add on Peter Bell, mate?
One of the most mentally tough players we've ever had pull on the Guernsey.
The only thing I'd say about Peter Bell, which I found very funny, because he's quite a quick-witted guy, is that I remember on the Basil Zemplis footy show, they said, oh, are you disappointed to miss out on the All-Australian? And he's like, nah, mate, because I made the All-Korean again. He's like, 10th year in a row, All-Korean football team. Very funny. All right, Oz, on that note, let's go to best time they met.
All right. What's the date? It'll be Sunday the 10th of August 2003 at 2:10 p.m. in front of 18,486 people. And, Duck, we actually played at the MCG. Now, I'll have to repeat that again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We played North Melbourne at the G.
I just have to repeat that. We played at the MCG.
Are you sure you...
Let that sink in.
Is that what they called Optus Stadium, Optus Oval at that stage, mate?
Well, you'd think maybe that there's a name change.
Are you talking about G as in like the G Oval in Tasmania?
Oh, who knows?
What do you mean MCG? We played North Melbourne at the MCG.
We played at the MCG. So some of these guys...
Unbelievable.
This is the first time some of these guys played at the MCG.
Just about, yep.
Just because we're never allowed to play there. But anyway, digress. Fremantle. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
15-9-99, defeated the Kangaroos 15-8-98 in a one-point nail-biter. Seesawed, I tell you what, this game, and we had a number of players just light it up on the day in one of the most memorable games we've ever played against the Kangaroos, Duck. Now, I don't remember this game necessarily for the one-point win, although I do, but I remember it for this particular reason. I remember it for Lee Brown, Matthew Spider Burton, and Jess Sinclair, also known as ex-Docker players who don North Melbourne jumpers as dual citizens. And this was one of those games where you go, is North Melbourne actually going to be the second affiliate club to the Fremantle Football Club?
The feeder club.
Yeah. Look, a super, super game, Duck. Matthew Pavlich racked up the disposals, 25 disposals, two goals.
Excuse me.
And two Brownlow votes, played a sensational game. Now, I also picked this game as well because you talked about Peter Bell. Peter Bell had 25 disposals as well with seven tackles, Duck.
Ooh.
Seven tackles and was stiff to miss out on the Brownlow votes in this particular round. Hazelby obviously rounded up with 21 disposals as well. And these players, they just bring back some good memories. Let me just give you some of these names. Trent Crowe. Troy Simmons.
Trent Crowe. Oh, yeah. Troy Simmons, yes.
Jeff Farmer, obviously, we talk about him. Dion Woods.
Oh.
Jimmy Walker.
Oh.
Robbie Hadrill.
Oh,
mate. Now,
baby. Now you're
this is the
language.
Favorite part of my my spiel here, Duck, is guess the goals. Now, you already know.
All right, 19 goals, yeah?
No, so we kicked 15 goals.
Oh, 15 goals.
15 goals. First of all, who kicked three?
MCJ. I reckon Wiz went back, kicked three.
You'd think that Wiz would fire up and kick multiple goals, but he only kicked one.
Crowe, was it one of his good games? He kicked like 40 goals in the season.
You know what? Excellent choice, but he did not kick a goal. Oh. Troy Longmuir kicked three. Let's start Tilo. With that. Tilo with the long... Did he go long sleeve and gloves?
He would have, surely.
So, but anyway, to round it off, we had Matty Pavlich with two, Desi Hedlund with two, Paul Medhurst with two, and then singles to Hazelby, Bell, Cook, McManus, of course, Farmer, we've said before, and Justin Longmuir, who also had 10 hitouts
during
this game. As well. So, look, a quality result, 1 point. Again, if you're looking back in history, this is one of those games where, you know, it was just essential for Fremantle to take the next step in their evolution, and it's games like this that actually help you do that.
Yeah.
So, such a close result at the MCG, a decent enough crowd at the time. I mean, it could have been better, let's be honest, but, you know, still people were watching. But a great result from the Fremantle Football Club in front of most of the ex-Fremantle players playing in North Melbourne.
Mate, let's get on to our predictions. Go. So just when we go to the bookmakers, mate, North Melbourne paying $2.50, Dockers $1.54. North Melbourne have the 10.5 point advantage on the old handicap. So Dockers are minus 10.5. Oz, do we win? How much by?
Yeah, I said 3 goals last week. I was wrong. This week.
Last week we won by 14 points. It's pretty much 3 goals.
Yeah, it's close. It's
2 goals too.
Yeah, nah, it's not close enough. I'm going with 3 goals, 4.
That's how much we're going to win by. Yeah. So 22 points.
22 points.
Okay, interesting. 22 points. I reckon this is an old-fashioned, and I mentioned it on the rain.
Yep.
We don't play any bloody no-sniff games. Yep. I want an old-fashioned shut-the-door, no-sniff. However, I am a little bit worried about the 4 games in 14 days versus 3 games in 13 days.
Yep.
And I think the Dockers will have to really, really shut the gate early on. We can't leave that gate ajar. We cannot give them a sniff because they'll come roaring home, North Melbourne, because they've got a lot of heart and a lot of spirit. But, look, I see us winning by, hopefully, 40 points.
Go!
Shut the gate early. Kick 5 or 6 goals early on and just keep that lead and keep pressing on with that. So I'm going 40 points, mate.
I love it.
All right, guys. On that note, remember to subscribe, rate, and review to the Purple Patch as well as our other podcast, The Purple Rain. We are at Purple Rain 95 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So please like our pages and keep up with all our social media. We don't really do that much, but, you know, we have listeners' questions every now and again for the podcast and things like that. And remember, guys, keep supporting the Freo Dockers. Get around them. And, yeah, it's pretty bloody good, eh? Let's have a good win on the weekend, us.
See you, guys.